A verse from our first lesson from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord God, I will soon lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Isaiah's words were addressed to a nation shattered by war, whose people had been deported as prisoners to a foreign city, and who believed, consequently, that their God had abandoned them. Defeat by Babylon had been followed by the destruction of the temple and much of the city of Jerusalem. It lay in ruins. A few survivors eked out a miserable existence, enduring famine and lack of basic necessities, and deprived of the community leaders and the priests whom the conqueror had taken in chains to Babylon, where they could do no harm. The Jews were a demoralized, defeated nation, overwhelmed by the disaster that had overtaken them. I want to suggest a modern parallel. 70 years ago, in October 1945, George Bell, Bishop of Chichester, who was remembered yesterday on the anniversary of his death, made his first post-war visit to Germany. Bell was one of the leading ecumenists of his generation. Involved since the end of the First World War in attempts to build a European ecumenical movement to bring the churches together, he had many friendships with German Christians and had observed with growing pain the agonies of the churches as they fell under the heel of Hitler and the Nazis, many becoming complicit in the evils of National Socialism, others courageously resisting and suffering the consequences. His friends included outstanding figures such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran pastor and theologian who was executed by the Nazis days before the end of the war, and Pastor Niemöller, who survived a harsh imprisonment to take part in the post-war reconstruction. Bell had been a persistent and unpopular critic of the British government's policy of obliteration bombing. It's often said that it cost him the Archbishopric of Canterbury when William Temple died. But the devastation he observed in Germany on his October tour was beyond his worst imaginings. Berlin was like an inferno in ruins, as he put it. Every town he visited had been reduced to rubble. The hordes of German refugees returning from the east were crowded into inadequate shelters, hungry, ill, wretchedly clothed, relics of humanity, as Bell said. In Tübingen, miraculously, they heard a performance of Handel's Messiah. The tenor aria, comfort ye my people, words from Isaiah, brought tears to their eyes in the light of what they had seen. The moral devastation, too, was almost unbearable. Bell met former friends, some of whom had collaborated with the Nazi regime and others who had resisted at great cost. The need for healing, reconciliation, and peace was palpable. A first step towards that process of reconciliation took place during Bell's visit. With other members of the embryonic World Council of Churches, he met a delegation of German churchmen in Stuttgart and received from them what became known as the Stuttgart Declaration of Guilt. The Protestant churches publicly accepted their responsibility for failing in their Christian witness in the face of Nazism. In words composed by Niemöller, they confessed, "With great pain do we say, through us has endless suffering been brought to many peoples and countries. True, we have struggled for many years in the name of Jesus Christ against the spirit which has found its terrible expression in the National Socialist regime of violence. But we accuse ourselves for not being more courageous, for not praying more faithfully, for not believing more joyously, and for not loving more ardently. Now, a new beginning is to be made in our churches." Significantly, the declaration was handed to Bishop Bell, who had exercised his diplomatic skills and exploited his long-standing friendships with the German churches to urge the pastors to take this momentous step. It was to prove a turning point. By acknowledging guilt, the Germans created the circumstances in which reconciliation with fellow Christians could take place and a new beginning could be made. 2,500 years earlier, disaster had befallen on the Jewish people through their faithlessness to God and abandonment of the covenant. But once that tragic failure had been acknowledged, the process of healing, peace, and reconciliation could begin. In the words of our text, "Thus says the Lord God, I will soon lift up my hand to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders." So today we give thanks to God, who is always ready to forgive, who shares our pain, and who has given us a means of reconciliation through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks too for George Bell, Bishop of Chichester, a man who, as an admiring Swedish bishop put it, does not speak without having something to say, and whose voice penetrated more than many more boisterous voices. His deep compassion, patient attentiveness to former enemies, and courageous denunciation of the moral compromises that human beings make in the face of war can still serve as an inspiration to all of us. Amen.